Good morning. It is early, but it was so nice waking up with the sun shining and feeling that warmth. Hopefully the winds stay down and we just enjoy a beautiful day today. Listen, maybe you're here today and you're really not a religious person at all, but you decided to come. You know what? The truth is, we're thrilled that you're here. We welcome visitors all the time, and I'm very glad that you've come this morning. Hopefully after service, there's probably still donuts and stuff upstairs. Get up and stand, or go up, have a donut, juice or coffee or something, and just visit a little bit. God's put us here as a church to do one thing. And that is to be a tool or to be a catalyst to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now today we probably won't answer all of your questions. Questions you have about God or about the church. But I do trust that while you're here today, those who are visiting, that you'll meet some nice people. And Laurel Street is filled with nice people, with people that love others and want to get to know you. And I just hope that today you kind of take the time to get to know some of the ones here. And we hope and we pray that maybe you'll want to come back. Now, we've been walking through the Bible, and essentially we've been discussing one word. Who remembers what that one word is? Redemption, thank you. Last week, after the service, after Sunday school, I was upstairs, and I really enjoyed it because Renee came up to me, and she says, okay, we've got this word, this word, this word, this name, this name, this name, this name. Now, what's next week? And, you know, we have to wait to find out, and I noticed she's not here this morning. So, Justin, let her know we miss her, and you can tell her word for word everything I say today. Redemption. The Bible is a book about redemption, and it starts in Genesis, and it goes to Revelation, and it doesn't change. It is about God wanting a relationship with His people. We've been doing this walk through the Bible study, looking at eight characters, going to be the total of what we look at. Today, we're up to number seven, actually. We've moved into the New Testament. Now, the truth is, everybody has an opinion on the Bible. But many, very many, haven't read it or they don't read it very much. The Bible was written over 40 different people over 2,000 plus years. But it tells one singular story. And that story is God's pursuit of a prodigal race. God's pursuit of a relationship, and here comes our new one for today, of a relationship with you. See, today it's you. We've been talking about all these characters. Today it's you, and that's where the story comes together. And as we've looked at these characters, we've looked at Adam, and Adam was the potential in man. And God had this perfect relationship going, and then sin came into the world and things changed. But God still wanted to have a relationship with people, so we go to Abraham, and in Abraham we see promise. God said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. And Abraham said, how's that going to happen? I don't have any children. I'm almost 90 years old. But God fulfilled His promise. And then we go to Moses, and God is still looking to seek a relationship, to have a relationship with His people. At this time, His people are in bondage. They're in slavery in Egypt. And we have Passover when we think of Moses and how God passed over and spared the children of God. And then we moved on. We talked about David and David being a man of passion. And we talked and we felt that passion. And what happens with David is God becomes very personal. David had a very strong, very personal relationship with God. He was passionate in that relationship. And David learned that God was really the good shepherd who looked down and knew how to take care of his flock or to take care of his people. Then we looked at a king that wasn't really a good king. His name was Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was filled with pride, and God sent warning after warning, and Zedekiah wouldn't listen. And we see where Zedekiah ends up being destroyed. And that moved us into last week where we talked about Jesus and the payment. What it cost for you and for me to be here today. We talked about Jesus and that payment. Today, we're talking about us. We're talking about us. And what we're talking about with us is patience. Patience. Now, what I want you to do, and I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I want you to say your name. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay. That worked better than I thought it would. Today, I want you to realize that the story of the Bible really does include you. You're in the Word, you're in the Bible, you're in the story. It now comes to us, and we are a part of that story. Jesus predicted this day. There's one story, God's pursuit of a relationship with man, and we're a part of that. Because God wants to have a very real, very personal relationship with you. How many of you enjoy waiting? Now, you know, I very often consider myself to be a patient person. But as I worked on the message, I discovered, yeah, my wife's over here saying, oh, no, no, no. I discovered this about myself as I worked on this message. She's right. I think I'm patient, but I'm really not. The thing is that most of the time in my impatient situations, I stay a little quiet about it. Now, she's going to shake her head on that one, too. But I try to be, and I find out, well, maybe not so. I've got a computer that's an idiot. I don't know any other way to put it. It's stubborn. It doesn't do what I want it to do, and I want to just pound on it, and if I could get another computer, I'd throw it out the window because it's just stupid. It's not the user. I call somebody up, and they put me on hold. That drives me insane. Put me on hold. Now, it's one thing to do it for 10 seconds, but to put me on hold and minutes roll on into hours, I get impatient. Inevitably, when I go to the store to buy groceries or to Walmart or wherever, I will be the one who gets in the wrong line. You know, the one that you're supposed to only have 20 items or less in. That's the line I shoot for, and I count every item in my basket. I also count the items in the basket in front of me that somebody else has. And sure enough, I'm in line waiting and waiting, and they've got 21 items. Get out of line, it's my turn. Or I order something, and I'm running to the mail, checking the mail, can't wait for it to come in, and it takes forever for it to get here. Going to the restaurant. I may be the only person that this happens to. But people, I go to a restaurant, I give them my name, people come in after me and they get seated before me. I just want to stomp my feet and scream, lay down on the floor and kick. Well, truth is, who wants to wait? And really none of us do. But at this point in the story of redemption, it has a lot to do with waiting. We come to God and we say, okay, God, why don't you fix this? The world is broken. Why don't you fix it? Why don't you change it? God, why don't you come back? God, why don't you heal this? Why don't you stop this and stop that? And we wait and we wait and we wait. You know what? We're not the first group of Christians frustrated with that. When Jesus was on earth, his disciples, they really didn't understand what was going on. They didn't understand what his kingdom was to be. They didn't understand what he was about and why he was here. And they said the same thing that we do. And they asked and they said, Jesus, now listen, we know the story of Abraham and we know the nation that is born and we know of Moses and the exile and how you let him out. And now with all of these things completed, finally, isn't this your time that you're going to restore your kingdom to Israel? And they're saying it seems like everything has happened that needs to happen. It seems like it's time for the kingdom. The answer is nope. There's something else that has to happen. Yeah, Abraham started a nation. Moses got the people into the land that God wanted them to be. Then there's the kingdom, and David builds the kingdom, and we see things happen there. And the prophets come, and the prophets talk about a Messiah that will deliver them. And it seemed like it was all over. And they said, Jesus, you know, is this the time? You still don't have a kingdom, and we know who you are. I mean, what's next? Well, Jesus reveals it to them, and he also reveals it to us. And he gives an announcement of something that hadn't happened. Matthew 16, verse 13, if anybody's following. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter, I love Simon Peter. He just spits stuff out and doesn't care. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And they're thinking, "You're what? Wait a minute, Jesus. We know about family. We know what family is. And we know what a nation is. And we know what kingdoms are. But church? Church? What is a church?" And God's talking. And he's talking about something that he's going to build. And he's saying, "It's my gathering. It's my assembly." And the disciples are thinking, "No. No, you're the king. There's got to be this great kingdom." Well, Jesus unloads something else that's going to happen. Because he says, "It's my church, but listen to this. I'm going to build it." And this is his announcement to his disciples so long ago. And 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus said, "I will build my church." And guess what? Here we are today. Here we are today. We're a part of the story. We're a part of the history. We're a part of what God was doing. And everything that God says, everything Jesus says, it comes true. There's a little play on words here. And he's saying to Peter, you know, on this truth, on this statement that you've made, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. On this, I'm going to build something that you cannot even imagine. And it's going to be beyond an individual. It's beyond a nation. It's beyond a localized kingdom. And Jesus says, I'm going to do it. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. It doesn't matter what opposition might arise. It doesn't matter what kind of obstacles stand in the way. Jesus says, I'm going to build it, and nothing's going to stop this from happening, because this is the kingdom I'm building. It is my church. They are my people, and I'm going to build it. And he was right. I know he was right, because here we are today in this city, in this state, in this country, and around the world. You know, today people are worshiping God, and God's church is coming together in different settings, in different places, and people are just bonding together in the name of Jesus Christ. It's awesome. It's exciting. We are a part of the story. Jesus said, nothing can stop it. The church has been persecuted, and it has survived. The church has faced poverty, and it has survived. The church has faced prosperity, and it has survived. Technology, and survived. Education, and survived. Boring preaching, no. And you were listening. Rome tried to stamp it out and becomes a center of Christianity. China tried to stomp it out and they grew an underground church. The Soviet Union tried to destroy it and the church grew. Nations have come and gone. Leaders, kings, technology, mover stars, all wanting to say that God is dead and the movement is dead and move against him. But the church of Jesus Christ marches on today. It will not be defeated. Why? Because Jesus said, and listen to this, I will build my church and nothing can stop it. And you're a part of that. You're a part of that. You're in the book. You're in the story. And you're a part of it. And you've been a part, you've been involved in the fulfillment of prophecy. You've been involved in a chapter, in a story of redemption. And it is just as significant as what happened to Abraham or Moses or David or the nation of Israel. And when an angel comes to Mary and says, the Messiah is coming and you're going to have this child, we're a part. We're a part of the story. The church. Isn't that awesome? Guys, do you get that? Way back 2,000 plus years ago, God was thinking of you. And he thought to put you in the book. Because the book is about you as well. You know what's unique about the church? And it's the difference that Jesus sees the church as more than just a family. He sees the church as more than just a kingdom. He knows the church won't start until after he's gone. But the church is going to be the body of Christ. Not just people running around representing Jesus, but the body of Christ. You know, there's a thing, and sometimes the only way I can describe it is a thing, but there's a thing when the members of the body of Christ come together and they use the gifts that God has given them, there's a thing, a something. And it's unique and it's interesting, because when the body comes together that way, things happen for the glory of God. You ever been traveling and on vacation or something and walked into a church and just felt welcome? Felt like you were a part of that church? That's the body of Christ. And that's the way it should be. Remember, we were in Ouray, Colorado, way up in the mountains, and we were camping and decided to go to church one Sunday. And we went to this church in Ouray, and we didn't know them and they didn't know us, and they welcomed us in, and they were so loving and kind. They were having a potluck that day. We didn't know it. We didn't take anything with us. And they said, join us. Come on in. Have something to eat with us. That's the body of Christ. And when you're involved in the body and doing what God wants you to do, things happen. And I see it all the time. I see, you know, people come, strangers come, and they maybe don't know the songs, and they don't know the people. But the truth is, it's not the music, and it's not the preaching. It's whenever there's an assembly of the body of Christ. That's when this thing happens, whatever this thing is. And I can't give it a word, because it's of God. And they function, the church functions as it's designed to. And we do those things for God that He wants us to do for one another, and we love one another, and gosh, Jesus shows up. You ever felt that? Something's happening. Something's going on, and Jesus shows up. And we feel it. We know it. It's real. And it's something that you can't buy. And it's something you can't beg for. It's something you have to live. It's something you have to experience. And until you have experienced it, you don't understand it. But Jesus shows up. And I stepped up here before. And Sherry's not in here, so I can't pick on her. But Sherry steps up and her shoes come off. And I love it. And there's times, because we're standing on holy ground, that you feel like, remove your shoes. Because of where you're at, Jesus shows up. And folks, it is as close as you will ever get to Him until you get to Him, till you see Him physically. This is the prophecy of Jesus. I'm going to establish my church, and nothing, absolutely nothing, will stop it. Little did they, the disciples, know they were on the edge of transition. And you know what? We, this body, we have been invited to be a part of this current chapter of His story. One of the most powerful statements of all time that I've heard, and I fully believe it, has to do with our eyes. And it says, see what God is doing and join it. See, we don't lead and ask God to follow, do we? At least that's not the way it's supposed to be. See what God is doing and join it. And when we see what God is doing as a body of believers, as a church, we pour everything into it. And then we see how God blesses. Action. God was a God of action in the days of Moses. And, you know, just kind of hung out with the Israelites, and there's this pillar of fire by day and or by night, and cloud by day, or we're given the Ten Commandments. Then we talk about David and the golden age, because David knew what God expected and what God wanted. And then Zedekiah, and God was saying, get your act together. Then Jesus was walking on this earth, and He's doing miracles, and He's announcing about the kingdom of God. And if you wanted to be in on what God was doing, this is cool, when Jesus was here, if you wanted to be in on what God was doing, it's real simple. You just hung tight to Jesus. You just held on. I love the story in Scripture, the woman who just reaches out and she just touches the hem of His garment and is healed. Stay close to Jesus. That's all they had to do. And listen, God is not less active in this age than He was in ages past. He's no less interested in this age than He was in ages past. We are a part of the story. On the day that he left this earth, he told us our responsibility. And it's Matthew 16, beginning with verse 17. And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by a man, but by my Father in heaven. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Listen, all nations worldwide are called to the kingdom of God. All nations are a part of the body. All nations have this fellowship that we have, and they have this thing that we're talking about. But I want you to know, and Jesus wants us to know, that there is an end to this age. There is an end, and God will bring that end into being. There's another chapter that we have to study, another chapter we have to read, another chapter we have to know about, because this is the time for the decisions for Christ. This is the time for the church to be working to build the kingdom. This is the time to make a difference in this world. But there's another chapter coming, and when that chapter comes, the loss and the tragedy and the pain that people will go through will be beyond anything that anyone has ever imagined. God says that we are to be about bringing people into His kingdom. We are to be building on the foundation, the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. And He says, during that time, I'll be with you. You see the promise? The body of believers who are serious about what Jesus has left us here to do, to that degree, the presence of Jesus will be with what we're about. And as you fulfill your responsibility in this age, Jesus says, "I will be with you." I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a church that is just so dead that you wonder why they don't just, you know, sell the building and move away? I was recently in a church that I got to admit, I had questions. Because we walked in the church and there was myself and 9 other people. One of them was the pastor. And there was no life. Oh, lots of money, though. But there was no life. And you wonder, what's not happening? Sometimes these churches are just not doing what God left them here to do. And so there's no reason for Him to show up. If your life in Christ is boring, folks, there is a good chance that you're not doing what He's planned for you to do. And it's when men and women come together to accomplish what God has called them to do, that's when He shows up. We have coming up next week, Iron Sharpens Iron. And it's a good group going to that. Now, let me tell you, I've been to those before, and I've yet to be there when God didn't show up. And you feel it in the hearts of men and those who are there. When He showed up, things happened. When He showed up with Moses, things happened. God showed up when people embraced what God called them to do. And if we want Jesus to show up, we must embrace the commission that He gives us. It's Jesus who established the church and empowered us by the Holy Spirit to bring people into His kingdom. And if we don't, then we have missed a part of the story. We've missed our part. Our part is to be bringing people in. If we don't, we miss it, and we miss what God is up to in this world. This age, this generation, this thing, this time will come to an end. we go on and live our lives like we have forever to do what God wants us to do. And I'm not going to predict when, but this age will end. This is the time for the church. This is the time for the church to step up to our neighbors and to our relatives and to our friends. It's the time for the church to be reaching people, to bring them into the kingdom of God. This is our time. And if the book was written after everything is said and done, what would it say about God's people in this time? What would it say about Laurel Street? What would it say about those who said their name aloud this morning? On that day, whenever the end comes, we will wish that we would have done what God called us to do. But until he comes back, he's left us with something. He's given us a command. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know, God has extended this age. Did you know that? For some reason, all through history, his love, his grace, his mercy, he desires to dwell with men. And so he's the one who waits and waits and waits and calls on us as the body of Christ to make disciples of all nations, knowing there is going to be an end to this age. There will be a day when it all comes to an end. So what do we need to do to have an intimacy with God like we should so we can do what we're supposed to? First of all, folks, is a very solid prayer life. Allow God to be a part of our emotional life with other Christians and be in prayer. And we've been called not to be lone rangers. And in the church, there are those running around wanting to be lone rangers and to not be accountable and to not follow through and to not be a part of the body, but they want to be a lone ranger and think they can do it themselves, and they're so confused, and they may be successful for a time, but it's only a short time because the lone ranger will not stand. God builds us as a body to work together. And we've been called to be the body of Christ together, to leverage our relationships with non-believers and those outside the church. And why does he do this? Because that's what God wants us to do, to have those relationships. We believe all this because let me tell you something, folks. This age will end, but heaven and hell, they're forever. They're forever. How's your relationship with God? Your prayer life. What about how are you working in the community? How are you working in this community here for the benefit of God, not for the benefit of self? Not to proclaim how great you are, but to proclaim how great he is. What are you doing? What are you doing? Man in a desert, and God grew a nation. Another man in the desert, and God leads a nation to freedom. A boy becomes a king and has a personal relationship with God and knows what it is to have the good shepherd watching over him. Prophet Jeremiah comes and he talks to a king and says, you better shape up, and the king doesn't listen. And then a young woman, God sends a messenger to her and says, Messiah will be coming and you will know him, and his name is to be Jesus. And we read about him, and we need to worship all that we understand about God. Why should we doubt? Folks, we're one chapter away from the end. Let's be the church. to be what God has called us to be. The book we're studying, this walk we're going through, it's about you. It's about you. And you, my friends, represent patience. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up these words to you. Lord, I pray that as a body, as the body of Christ, we would work together to build your kingdom. I pray that we would work together to do our part in this story. That we would work together to bring glory and honor to you. That everything we do and everything that happens, Father, would be in your name and for your sake. Father, we pray that as a church, we would go out and look to reach the lost and to bring others in. We pray, Father, that you would just be glorified in everything. Father, we pray that we wouldn't work as a lone ranger, but we would work together as you've called us to. You loved us so much that you included us in the book. And you talked to us. And you left your word with us. And you planted the Holy Spirit that we would find the things that we need to move forward. Father, this is your church. And it will not be defeated. But through you we find strength. Lord, I just lift this to you in Jesus' name.